Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Many people think they can come to God any way they like. Lay aside your preconceptions. Listen to what God says about how to find Him. Today, we'll learn why coming to God only happens through the right mediator. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. We're in a series on 10 lies about God and why you might already be deceived. Erwin Lutzer is speaking about lie number one, that many paths lead into God's presence, posing life's most crucial question.
How do you get to God? Somebody showed up here at the church one time and said, God must have his receiver off the hook. I don't know his number. How do I get in touch with him? Let me tell you how he must be approached. Number one, you must have the right mediator, God cannot be approached directly. All relationship with God is mediated. Medieval times, there were mystics who thought they could just get through to God on their own. It's got to be mediated. We think, for example, of the contrast. The Old Testament priests, there were many of them because they died and then they were replaced. There was one high priest, but when he died, he had a replacement, and on it went, because they were symbolic of the coming of Christ, who would be the priest who would for once and for all become our mediator, our intercessor, to stand between us and a holy God. And so you see the contrast here in the text. Notice he says, day after day, every priest, many of them performing his religious duties, again and again he's offering the same sacrifices. Furthermore, these priests were sinful and they had to offer sacrifices for themselves first, and then they had to do it for others. Jesus never had to offer a sacrifice for himself because he was sinless. Some of you know how often I've told you the story of going to the Parliament of World Religions and looking for a sinless Savior. I don't need somebody who's a part of my predicament. And I discovered that in the religions of the world, in the Palmer House, represented downstairs, booth after booth after booth, no other religion has a sinless Savior. They have teachers who are sinners just like the rest of us. I need something better than that, personally. And so what we have here is someone who can respond to Job's need. You remember Job said, oh, if I could just get through to God. He said, would I ever unload? I just give all of my complaints. But he said, I need an umpire. I need somebody, he said, who can put his hand on both of us. And somebody who can bring us together. Only Christ. Fully man. Fully God. The God-man. There is only one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And we cannot go into the presence of God alone. We must have a mediator with us. And you'll notice that it says, when this mediator gave his sacrifice, he sat down on the right hand of God. The other priest worked and worked and worked and worked, and there was no end to it. But he could say, it is done. The right mediator. Secondly, we need the right sacrifice. The right sacrifice. The same passage speaks about sacrifices. Justice demands it. I'm always amused by people who say, well, you know, the idea that God demands a sacrifice is archaic, and so forth. My dear friend, and we'll do this as we look at this series, this is only the first in a series of 10 messages on God, but I have to tell you up front, God is stuck with the attributes he has. I mean, he can't change his attributes. If his justice demands a sacrifice, it demands a sacrifice. And let us not think again that we have to recreate God according to what we would like to see or what we think is best. All that we can do is to accept his revelation. Justice demands a sacrifice. Now, we should not think of God the Father as being angry and vengeful and Jesus appeasing him. After all, the Bible does say that God loved the world. God showed his love to us. God also loves us. God also cares. The Father also cares. But it was an arrangement within the Trinity that God the Son would be a sacrifice so that we could be free. Now notice again the contrast. The contrast is between many sacrifices, day after day offering the same sacrifice, the lambs constantly being slain and sin never permanently being taken away. God did allow them to enjoy forgiveness on the basis of Christ's coming, which was still future, but the sacrifices themselves never had the ability to take sin away. But he, notice it says, by one sacrifice for all time, he took sin away. His actually worked. His actually is qualified to bring us to God. Something else. You think of those priests, what did they offer? Animals, the blood of bulls and of goats and of sheep. But Jesus, it says in Hebrews chapter 9, the preceding chapter, he did not enter heaven by means of the blood of goats and calves, but he entered the most holy place by his own blood. Now here's a priest. Here's a priest who actually becomes the sacrifice himself. What we need when we enter into God's presence is the right sacrifice. And notice the completeness of it. About 10 days ago, several of us and the staff were taking a cab here in Chicago, and we came across a man who was very open to talk. He was a Muslim cab driver. And we were trying to explain the wonders of Jesus and his forgiveness. And this cab driver said, and I'm not sure whether or not he represents the Muslim faith, I'm just telling you what he said. He said, I know that I have to go to hell, he said. Justice demands it. Because he said, I'm not supposed to sleep with other women, and I've slept with other women. I'm not supposed to get drunk, and I've been drunk. But he says, when I get to hell, when I'm there long enough and pay for my sin, then I hope to get to heaven. Well, he was wrong on a couple of counts. First of all, when you go to hell, you don't get out. Sorry. But second, no human suffering can ever possibly take away sin, even if it is eternal, if the suffering is eternal. But third, what a wonderful opportunity we had to share with him the beauty of the gospel. For by one sacrifice, Christ took sin away permanently, forever, it says, for those who are being made holy. Last part of verse 13. Because by one sacrifice he is made perfect, yes, forever, those who are being made holy. There is no need for you to go to hell if Christ's sacrifice was accepted by the Father, which it was. How do we get to God? And I'm not talking about simply living in his presence, because everybody does that. He fills the universe. I'm talking about getting his ear. I'm talking about getting his regard. I'm talking about connecting. I'm speaking about going right into his presence, into that holy place. I'll tell you, it's a mighty bad idea and very futile unless you go with a right mediator and the right sacrifice. You say, well, God doesn't blow people away today like he did back then. No, but we're going to deal with that in the next message. The next message in this series deals with the lie that God is more tolerant than he used to be. Some people think, well, you know, old age, he's beginning to wink at sin. Well, that's next week's message. You go with the right mediator. You go with the right sacrifice. And now you go with the right attitude. Look at it says in verse 19 of Hebrews, "Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by this new and living way which he opened through the curtain," and he's thinking here of the veil that separated the holy place and the Holy of Holies. He's saying, "And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near." Now we're ready to come close. Now we can come close. And how do we draw near? With a sincere heart. The word is honest. We don't have to pretend, you know. We all pretend in the presence of others. In the presence of God, there's no use. I mean, he knows the whole thing anyway. So you come and you honestly, finally, honestly admit who you are. With a sincere heart, with full assurance. We come believing that we're going to be accepted on the basis of having come with the right mediator and the right sacrifice. And now we trust him. We trust him. Last week I was reading a book by a very fine Christian author in which he told the story of a prostitute here in Chicago who was selling her two-year-old child sexually to perverts so that she could get money to live. And someone thinking of this horrid situation said to her, "In your need, why didn't you think about going to a church?" And she said, "Why would I bother going to a church? I feel guilty enough, and they will only make me feel more guilty." Now let's think about that response for a moment. Let's not brush it off quickly. If people come to a church, do they feel guilty? Yes, there's certainly a place to feel guilty, and maybe she will feel more guilty for a short time. But there's something else that should happen at a church if it's worth existing. And if not, may its doors be closed. And that is that in the midst of the guilt, there is also hope. There's also the recognition that yes, she too can draw near if she comes in the right name, the name of Jesus, the right mediator. And she knows the right sacrifice of the cross of Jesus dying. Yes, she too can come into the very holy place of God. Do you notice what the text said? Did I read it too quickly? It is there in verse 19. "Since we have confidence to enter the most..." Oh, I can hardly get through this. "To confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus." That woman and a thousand like her can be right in the most holy place by the blood of Jesus. Guilt drives us away from God, but it also draws us to God. And I say to those of you today feeling awash with failure and guilt, do not turn away from God, but draw near to the most holy place. But come with Christ. Don't go alone. A number of years ago, I was in Washington, D.C. with our two oldest daughters, and I was speaking at a retreat. And at the retreat, there was a Secret Service agent who said to me, "Would you like to see the Oval Office tomorrow?" Tomorrow was Monday. It was a holiday. And President Bush, at that time, he was the president, was out of town, and he said, "I can show you the Oval Office." Well, here I am, you know, a farm boy from Canada, thinking to myself, I'll never have an opportunity like that. I often thought, you know, it'd be wonderful. You see it on TV, you see pictures, but it'd be wonderful to say, this is the Oval Office. So I didn't even pray about it. I just said, I'll meet you. Just tell me the time, and I'll be there. So we show up at the White House, and he is there, and we begin going through the guard stations to get to the Oval Office. I remember the first station. It's the one that's at the gate at the White House there, and our umbrellas set off the metal detectors. But you know that the guards scarcely looked at us. My daughter offered to open her purse so he could check it. He said, "No, I don't want to check it." He said, "You're with him. Go ahead." We came to the next guard station. They looked at the Secret Service agent. They didn't know who we were. I could have been a criminal as far as they were concerned. But they looked at him and they said, "You're with him? Go ahead. You're with him? Go ahead." And now we were in the hallway, and I could already see the door of the Oval Office. I could see it partially. And there's one more guard sitting right there at the door. And I wondered, is he going to turn us away? But he came and he looked at the Secret Service agent and he waved us on by. "You're with him? Go ahead." In my mind's eye, if I may use my imagination and yours, let us suppose that all who are members and friends of Moody Church, what if we all died at the same time? And suddenly we find ourselves now on the other side of death, and we look around, and who do we have? Well, we have people, perhaps some women who at one time were prostitutes before they believed on Jesus, women who've had abortions, who struggled with all kinds of guilt as a result of it. We have people who were into the homosexual lifestyle before they believed on Jesus. We've got criminals. We've got people who were guilty of thievery, people who spent time in prison. And then we've got a whole bunch of really scrubbed up people who haven't done any of those things. But if you knew their thought life, you'd know that they were just as guilty as the rest. So we're all there. And Jesus comes and stands among us. Then I can imagine, as we're on our way to the holy city, that angels are like guard posts along the way. And we come to the first one. And they look at us and then they say, "You're with him? Go on through." Then we come to another one and they say, "You're with him? Go on through. You're with him? Go on through." And then we can begin to see the glory of God. We're actually so close now that the God who dwells in unapproachable light, oh, this is it now, unveiled. You see, everything that God has in the Bible is veiled. But now, this is the glory of God unveiled in blazing light and holiness. And then we have a flashback. And we think of our sins and how miserably we lived and how we failed God and all the depths of our iniquity. It all comes awash on us and we say, "We can't go any further. We just can't. We can't." The angel says, "You're with him. Go on in." My dear friend, don't you ever think it doesn't matter how you approach God. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, that's the way you go. You have the right mediator. You have the right sacrifice. And the only reason we are admitted is because we're not going alone. We're with him. Have you ever accepted this Christ as your Savior? Do you understand now why it's utter foolishness and stupidity to think that you can just get there however you wish, whatever religion, whatever you believe? Not this God. We need to go the right way. No man gets to the Father but by me. Let's pray. Our Father, we ask today that in grace you might reach down and save those who need to be saved. Make them aware of their need for a qualified Savior. And even at this moment, if you've never received Christ as Savior, just like Mickey, who gave that wonderful testimony a moment ago, he was sitting in his seat And he prayed just like you can pray. Say, Jesus, I am a sinner. And I receive you as Savior right now, as my mediator, as my sacrifice. You talk to him and you do that. And Father, in this age when we have so blasphemed you by thinking that we can get to God however we wish, grant that the folks who have listened to this message, that this message may know eternally why there's only one way to the Father. Oh, grant that, Father, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
This is Pastor Luther from my heart to yours today. The message that you have just heard, I wish it could be given to all of America, for that matter, all of the world. Because we live in a day and age when people think that every religion is right, every religion has validity and the same validity, and they do not understand that the way to the Father is only through Jesus. Because Jesus alone is able to be the mediator between God and man, standing between us and the requirements of a holy, just God. Apart from Jesus, there is no hope, because everyone else, all the gurus, all the prophets, are also sinners. I hope that you take some initiative today to make sure that this message reaches a wide audience. You know, in a moment you're going to be given information as to how these messages can be yours, and of course you can receive them as CDs, but also I have written a book entitled 10 Lies About God. I'd really like for this book to be in your hands, and I wish that you would pass it on to college students, to those who are struggling with the whole issue of whether or not Jesus Christ is unique and special. And in this way, we can get the message of the gospel to many. Thanks so much for joining us today. God bless you, and I hope that you have a good day. And above all, tune in next time to Running to Win.
Tsunamis kill hundreds of thousands. Earthquakes do the same.
Who can begin to calculate the amount of pain that has come to planet Earth through natural disasters? But the question is, what is God's role?
Erwin Lutzer's book, 10 Lies About God and Why You May Already Be Deceived, addresses tough issues like these.
We've talked about the lie that you can go to God in any way and at any time in any name. The lie that he can be refashioned and made into whatever we want him to be. The lie that he is more tolerant than he used to be. The lie that he has not suffered, and was it last time? Yes, the lie that he's obligated to save the followers of other religions. Today we come to another lie, the lie that God takes no responsibility for natural disasters.
Much that's wrong in our day can be traced to people believing one or more of these devious lies. 10 Lies About God is a book by Erwin Lutzer that belongs in your home. A copy has been reserved for you, with our thanks, for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Call right now at 1-888-218-9337. That's 1-888-218-9337. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. When requesting your book, send whatever gift you'd like to help us further the outreach of Running to Win. Online, you can reach us at rtwoffer.com. That's rtwoffer, all one word, .com. Many people believe God has evolved. No longer mean, he's now gentler and kinder. And that's lie number two in our series about God. Get set, because next time on Running to Win, another myth is going to be debunked. Plan to join us as Erwin Lutzer brings a message on lie number two, that God is more tolerant than he used to be. Thanks for listening. For Dr. Erwin Lutzer, this is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is sponsored by the Moody Church.